The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
How many times in the last 20 years, two decades, have the Knicks been over 500 at this point in the season, 35 games in? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. First, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Knicks with nine to shoot. Randall, open at the right wing. Brinks inside the arc. Four to shoot in the lane. The fall away. It is good. Short jumper for Julius Randall. Gives him 25 with 15 boards and seven dimes tonight.
Well, I tell you what. What do you call the Knicks? Like Kentucky in the, like, you know, it's some kind of Kentucky transposed to the major leagues, right? To the league. It's Kentucky all grown up. Makes some sense, right? If you have all these stars from Kentucky who didn't quite pan out as superstars or stars in the league, start collecting them, hope they improve, concentrate on what they can do well. 27, 16, and 7. That's pretty, like Charles Barkley in his prime numbers out of Julius Randle. Tied for the NBA lead with 3, 25, 15, and 5 games this season. In the Triple Crown NBA stats, 25 points, 15 boards, and 5 assists from your power forward. Now, the Knicks beat up the Pistons heading into the All-Star break. They head into the All-Star break over 500 for the third time in the past 20 years. Wait a minute. Well, or I should say 35 games into the season. In 20 seasons, let's just think about the preseason and all the hope you have, especially when you're a kid. This is for the kids, damn it. Forget about the grown-ups. You should know better. But the kids, you get all excited. You have the Knicks posters on your wall and stuff and talking about the Knicks, and you always think the prospects are going to be better than they turn out to be, right? You always have your draft, your second-round draft pick somehow going to be a superstar. And year after year, you have hope. This time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be different. And for 20 years, you're only, this is the third time you're over 535 games into the season. Oh my God. Well, Knicks fans, die hard. I mean, I used to be a diehard Knicks fan, and then I died. Eventually, I died. It was hard, but they eventually killed me. I mean, Randall, by the way, is a real success story this year. And look, he's really the difference in his game mainly. He still doesn't go right, but the difference in his game is he's hitting threes. Those 15-footers and those jump shots he was hitting, like he was Charles Oakley in the old days, like he was a power forward from the 80s, those are now three-point shots. He's stretching it out. And it's made a big difference. He's really a really fantastic offensive player, especially as a power forward. If you can have a power forward who can grab you the boards Randall does, and then also hit from the outside, you got something there. The Knicks have something there, and they picked him up for $10 million, which is a bargain in this day and age in the NBA. He's the first Knick in history. I mean, the All-Star break is a little different this year. It's earlier because it's a shortened season because of COVID, but Julius Randle is the first player in Knicks history to enter the All-Star break with season totals of at least 800 points, 400 boards, and 200 assists. You know, he can play. Knicks came into this season, their over-under win total was 22.5. That was the lowest in the league, or tied for the lowest in the league. And when you add, like, R.J. Barrett, who was their highest draft pick in a while, Emmanuel Quickley, who was a steal later in the draft, Mitchell Robinson, Obi Toppin. I mean, you know, I get it, Toppin's a local product and everything. They could have had Halliburton. Halliburton was drafted after Toppin, and Halliburton was obviously the highest floor guy in this draft. Of everyone with the highest floor, both ends of the floor, by the way, in any style or system, next to any player, it was Halliburton. Well, yeah, but what about Quickley? They took Quickley later on. Yeah, but what, you can't have Halliburton and Quickley? Too many good guards, is that a problem? The Knicks wouldn't know what to do with all that talent, damn it. They have an exciting young team, and the main thing is these guys play hard. They're connected, and they play hard. How are you feeling about your Knicks heading into this All-Star break, New York? Knicks fans? 888-SAY-ESPN. You know what I'm going to do, Raj? Right off the top. because this is the first time in 112 seasons that the Knicks have been over 500 at any point in the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Richard from Manhattan right off the top of the show.
Are you going to do that right off the
right off the show?
Max Kellerman is going to take a phone call. We're going
to
hear from
Richard from Manhattan. I am. Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
Max?
Yes, Richard.
Hi, Max.
Hi, Richard.
Max, Kyle Lowry.
Yes.
Was not picked for the All-Star team.
Right.
Toronto is only two games below Boston. Boston has two representatives.
Yeah.
Why did Jaylen Brown have to make the team? He's got many more years left. Kyle Lowry's been in the league 15 years. I don't think he's ever made the All-Star team. Rightfully so, Chris Paul was added, a veteran. I mean, Phoenix has the third-best record in basketball, so rightfully so, he should have the second-best record. Toronto is close with Boston, and Lowry, this was his last chance to make an All-Star team. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't this guy picked? He had 19 assists last night.
Yeah.
He's keeping him and Van Vliet are keeping the team in contention for a playoff spot. I don't see why the players did not figure this out. Really,
okay.
What do you
well,
think about that?
So am I safe to say that your argument really rests on the fact that Lowry is a veteran who doesn't have a lot of time to make his first All-Star team, right? And
yes,
even if his season is not as quite as good as Jaylen Brown's, Jaylen Brown has more time, right?
That's exactly right. That's
what if
exactly
I told you
thinking.
That Kyle Lowry is a six-time All-Star and Jaylen Brown's never made the All-Star game? Would that change your thinking, Richard from Manhattan?
Oh, I didn't know that. No,
yes.
I was wrong then.
Richard,
he's made it six times, Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, Richard, you're fascinating.
Okay,
you're fascinating
sorry.
To me, Richard. Wait, hold
corrected.
On. Hold on, wait, Richard. Let's slow down.
Yes.
You're very on top of sports, and yet you apparently don't have access to the internet. What's going on with you?
Max, I only rely on my brain. The only internet I have is between my two ears.
Why? What? Do you understand there's a repository of all human, if not wisdom, at least information, and at the touch of your fingers you can find this out?
Max, I just rely on my brain and my memory. That's why.
I understand. Now, Richard, I want to know something else about you. You said you were talking about it with your mother. Do you live with your mom?
No, my mom is in a home, Max. She's 95 years old.
I see, because
so
you don't sound like a spring chicken, so
show.
I was wondering what's going on.
But she watches your show with me.
Oh, so you go to the home to visit your mom every day?
Every day I'm with my mother. Yes,
this,
Max.
This
and
is,
we watch your show, you and Stephen A. She loves watching you and Stephen A.
That's right. Well, this is because of the wisdom she's accumulated in her 95 years. And that's a menschy thing to do. I'm happy that you see your mom in the home every day. That's great, Richard. And Richard from Manhattan has a lot of good ideas. I stole his idea the other day without attribution. I repeated it on First Take, and he and his mother, who watch me every day religiously, were aghast that I would have the temerity to
have
do that.
It's a shame we don't have Langer's or some type of meat or something to give him as a prize.
We
got to
give him
good
some
stuff,
kind of something. Visits
him
mom
and his mom
every
who watches every day. Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Both of them. I have to stop stealing his stuff. He'll catch me. I'm going to give Richard credit. You know, in this business, you read and hear so much stuff, you forget where it comes from all the time. And you just can't, you know, like I'd attribute every time someone else brought something up if I could remember every time I, you know, where I heard it from. But Richard always has good stuff. Always. But really didn't. His whole argument was based on Kyle Lowry. He's never made the All-Star team. He's got very upset and angry at everybody. Damn it, this guy's been toiling away for 15 years. Not one All-Star game selection. Whereas Jaylen Brown is young. First of all, Jaylen Brown's having a better season. I think, anyway. I mean, Jaylen Brown's averaging, 24, 25 points a game. And he's been great. And then turns out Kyle Lowry, sick. By the way, I didn't know Kyle Lowry's made six. I know he'd made some All-Star teams. I didn't know six All-Star teams. I had to look it up. I'm not claiming that Google is the repository of all human wisdom. It's not. But information? Richard, you have to get access to the internet, and you have to use it. Adam from New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing? Love the show. Just wanted to see what your thought is about this. Is Julius Randle the savior the Knicks have been looking for? Thanks.
You know, it's funny. You got to say, what a success story. I know what you mean. Like, you need players who create the right culture on the team in order to attract stars. And some of those players that you acquire need to be better than maybe even you thought they would be, or be the best version of what they, some of that stuff just has to work out. And boy, did Julius Randle work out. Like, when the Lakers drafted him, I want to say Marcus Smart went sixth and he went seventh in that draft. And I wanted the Lakers to get Marcus Smart. But I also thought Julius Randle was the last sort of sure thing in that draft. Like, in other words, you knew he was going to be a competent NBA player at least, and maybe a star. And it just turned out with the Lakers, he wasn't quite a star. He's a walking double-double, but because he was shooting 15-footers and not threes, he really wasn't built for the modern NBA. And he was built more like an old-school power forward, but he also wasn't built like a defender. So a lot of times you see those high rebound totals, you think, oh, defense, but he wasn't a defender. And he could only go left, and he couldn't shoot the three. And as many good things as he did, there were enough things he didn't do that the Lakers moved on from him. And I thought it was the right choice, actually. But his game has evolved, and he still does the things he did well back then, but he's doing certain things much better, and he's a godsend for the Knicks. He's been excellent. There's no two ways about it. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Let's jump right in, Dan.
You about the Knicks, are you?
What's that?
I don't know much about the Knicks.
No, no, I'm not going to ask you about the Knicks. I'm not going to ask you about the Knicks. I'm not sadistic. Hey, I'll do you one better. Ask you about the Jets. How's that?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Dan, here's my thing. Sam Darnold is, he might turn out to be a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think if he was going to be a great quarterback, we'd have seen it. But he may be a good one. You know, guys need stability. Alex Smith, Baker Mayfield, put him in the right situation. Darnold's still very young. He's shown flashes. But I think I've seen enough of him now to say, I ain't a great quarterback. Why should the Jets, go forward with this? Yeah, exactly. I promised. Why should the Jets go forward with Darnold when you can reset the rookie wage scale clock? You can get a guy with upside maybe who can be great. And maybe you could trade Darnold for even more draft capital. What are they going to do with Darnold? And do you think they should stick with him or get rid of him?
Yeah, I think it's a sliding scale kind of situation, right? Like if your evaluation of the draft quarterbacks doesn't blow you away, right? Zach Wilson could be good, but is he much better than Darnold? You know, then your decision becomes you weigh the economics, which you mentioned, right? You weigh the potential trade packages. Is what we can get for the number two pick more valuable to us than what we could get for Sam Darnold, and by how much? And so I think that's where they are right now, is figuring that all out. They're in a pretty good spot because they like Darnold, and if they continue to go with him, you know, they think they can make something out of it. He's 6 months younger than Joe Burrow. I mean, this is not a guy that, you know, is done by any stretch of the imagination. And there are examples around the league of guys that flourished when they got away from Adam Gase. And Ryan Tannehill became a very rich man in Tennessee, for example. So there is reason to hope on Darnold. But you're right. I mean, you have him one more year, then you have fifth-year option, and then all of a sudden he's expensive if he's any good. Whereas if you draft Zach Wilson, you have control of him for 5 years, 6 years with the franchise tag, et cetera. And that's part of the calculation as well. So I think they're going through all that, figuring out who they like and how much and what the offers would be for the assets that they have to move. And they're going to make their decision based on all those factors.
It seems to me that what it's going to come down to, you tell me where I'm wrong here, is if they think that Zach Wilson is the guy, like he is just better qualitatively, he's better than everybody else who's going to come after him, if that's the case, and he's better than Sam Darnold, then grab Zach Wilson. If they don't feel that, if they feel that Trey Lance or Mac Jones or Justin Fields is just as good or better or just different, you know, then why wouldn't they trade back, get one of those guys, get even more draft capital, still get a quarterback, trade Darnold, more draft capital to go with their four number one picks in the next 2 years. Like, if the Jets play, it just seems to me that they have been dealt a hand here through their own incompetence, where Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, of course, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, where if they play it right, they can restart this whole thing in a way they've never really been able to over the next two seasons.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they could do that and still, you know, if you move down, let's say you move from 2 to 4, the Falcons want to come up for somebody, or you move down from 2 to 8, the Panthers want to come up for somebody. You know, that all makes sense. The way teams think you know, if you move down too far, maybe you get stuck holding the bag, you get stuck without anyone. But if you're talking about if there's four guys, take Trevor Lawrence out of it, we know where he's going. If there's four guys you feel good about and you move down to eight, you've got a pretty good chance to get one of them. So that logic makes sense. I just don't know at this point where the Jets are in their evaluations in terms of who they like, who they don't like. Does one, say Zach Wilson, stand out from the rest of them in the Jets' mind? I'm not sure they're done their evaluations yet. A lot of teams this week have been doing a lot of Zoom calls with these prospects. They're figuring it all out. So, yeah, they could. There are a number of different ways the Jets could still go. And I agree, they are in a pretty good position given the number of quarterbacks and where they stand in the draft.
Yeah, by the way, even if they missed on a quarterback or didn't go this, so they'll have another very high draft pick next year and another batch of quarterbacks. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Dan, I look at a team like the Saints, and I don't think Drew Brees is the guy anymore. I don't, like, he wears down over the course of the season. He has not been good in the playoffs now going in half a decade. And they have options. You know, they have Taysom Hill, who I thought did an admirable job. They have, they're in a desirable destination, and they're built to win a Super Bowl right now. When I looked at Pittsburgh, it's a different situation. They have nobody who can do a competent job at quarterback. They're not exactly built to win a Super Bowl right now because of that O-line. They can't run block. They can't pass protect. And like, they had no option with Roethlisberger. Tell me, am I right or wrong there? Did the Steelers even really have a choice with Big Ben to restructure the deal?
Yeah, well, the restructure they did saves them $15 million on the cap. If they had cut him, it would have saved $19 million, but they wouldn't have had a quarterback. So,
right, so the $4 million, the $4 million difference, you get much more value. Roethlisberger has more value over his replacement than $4 million, in other words.
Yeah, agreed, especially if you're going to have a questionable offensive line and you know, you need some stability at that position if you want to have a shot next year. I'm with you. I think this has a chance to be Ben Roethlisberger's worst team ever in 2021 because, I mean, the center just retired. The left tackle's a free agent. Some other linemen are free agents. Juju's a free agent. James Conner's a free agent. Bud Dupree on the defensive side. And they are right up against, if not still over the cap, even with this Roethlisberger restructure. So they are in a position where the pressure is going to be on Tomlin. It's going to be on Roethlisberger. It's going to be on their draft class and all the young, good players they already have on the team to deliver at a high level if they're going to be a contender with Baltimore and, honestly, Cleveland, who, you know, by the end of the year was better than they were this year. So, yeah, they were stuck. They had never addressed the replacement issue. If they had somebody on their roster, they felt good about replacing Roethlisberger. Maybe they do cut him or he retires and they save that other $4 million, but they felt they had to have him back. He wanted to be back, so they'll take a shot. Look, Mike Tomlin's had as many losing seasons as an NFL head coach as you and I have. So tough to bet against them, but it does not look good on paper.
I think Mike Tomlin's incapable of losing more than 8 games in a season under any circumstances. Dan, I have to end with a Giants question, but I have something to get to before that. Just for pacing, it's 2:18. We have a couple more minutes, so I want to ask you a question, but save time, because I, as the Giants guy for ESPN for 6 years, I have to ask you about my beloved New York football Giants.
Right.
First, how many of the following quarterbacks are going to play for another team this season? Okay, I'm going to give you three names. I think you know who they are. Dak, Deshaun, Russell Wilson.
Dak, Deshaun, Russell Wilson. Maybe one, and it would be Deshaun. Dak's not going anywhere. They're going to franchise him, and they're trying to do a deal, and if they don't, he'll play on the franchise tag, and maybe he'll Kirk Cousins his way out of there. And Russell Wilson, I just don't see. I check in with Seattle pretty much every other day, and nothing's changed on their end. They're not planning to trade him. And Watson, it comes down to who's got the stronger stomach. Is he willing to sit out games, or are they willing to let him sit out games and go without a quarterback? So that's a standoff that could take some time to solve.
What a laughingstock Cal McNair and Jack Easterby have turned the Texans into. The most incompetent, most dysfunctional, biggest laughingstock in the NFL. Unbelievable. Now, Dan Graziano, my beloved New York football Giants. I know that the offensive line hadn't improved that much, really. I mean, they've had 10 years to fix it. They're unable to make it good, and they've invested enough that it should be upper half of the league by now. And I know Saquon Barkley wasn't there. But Dan, Daniel Jones, year two is the development year. He did not develop. And yet the Giants, because you have a GM who's very invested because he reached for Jones and Jones succeeding, you have a franchise that's like reflexively conservative in the way they approach things. the Giants are going to, like, of everyone in the NFC East, they're the ones who are, oh, no, we're going to double and triple down on this quarterback. Where are they right now with Daniel Jones? How determined are they to stay with him, and for how long?
Yeah, the coaching staff likes him. I think they felt like last year he did start to get it in the second half, and then he got hurt. So I think that's a big problem, right? When a guy gets hurt, it does sit back.
When he can't run in particular. But that bothers me, Dan. Like, speed is a big part of Daniel Jones's game, and I get it. A guy like him, or an exaggerated version of the speed in Lamar Jackson, you take that away, that's big. But I would expect him to get more business done from the pocket. When he can't move, he's a dead duck.
Yeah, I think last year they were looking for – they felt like the line play got better as the year went on, and so did he. And then, of course, you know, the injury. But they expect he'll recover from the injury and be his old self in terms of his mobility. And they felt like he made a lot of progress in the turnover department, which was the huge question, right, a year ago. So it's a big year for him. You know, after this year, they're going to have the fifth-year option decision and figure out where they're going. But this is a pivotal year for Daniel Jones, and they still think highly of him. But they also see themselves, the Giants see themselves as a team that is still building and still needs to add a lot.
They're building every year. Yes. They have to add a lot every year. Yes. It's unbelievable.
I'm aware.
A team like the Chargers, Dan.
They have not drafted well, Max.
I know.
They've not done a good job in that draft.
By the way, in the second half of Jerry Reese's reign on, right? Like, when I look at a team like the Chargers, Herbert falls throughout the years, you know, in terms of a prospect, and they pick him, what, sixth overall? Justin Herbert. There's no like, well, we think he made progress here. From the first time you saw him, he said, oh my God, this dude is unbelievable. The Giants now coming into the third year in with Daniel Jones. Well, we feel that with more development, if we put he could be a competent. What does it take to get quarterback right? The great Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Already we're halfway through the season. My NBA Halfway Point Award Show is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm having to correct ESPN Ringside right now. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Who's your MVP so far? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm about to do the Kellerman NBA Award Show. First, let me tell you to tune in this Sunday for the 2001 NBA All-Star Game, live from Atlanta. When I'm done with this, don't do the imaging yet, Roger. I have something to say. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And let me just say, I'm about to hit send on a tweet. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to correct ESPN Ringside about something. It's a very important correction. There was a question on Max Unboxing. Friday's 5 p.m. on ESPN2, asking who would win, Clubber Lang or Ivan Drago, the antagonist from Rocky 3 or the antagonist from Rocky 4. It's a styles issue for Clubber, who's one of the great antagonists in the history of American film, along with Darth Vader and Hannibal Lecter. I'd say those are the top three. At any rate, style is all wrong for Clubber. It's like a Frazier Foreman thing. He can't get inside on that power of Drago without getting knocked out. Anyway, ESPN Ringside has a tale of the tape. They tweeted out, listing Clubber Lang as orthodox, he's a southpaw, and 5'11", when there's no way Clubber was under 6'1", at least, given what Rocky is supposed to be and their heights at the stare down. So I'm about to send tweet, you're listening very live, to a major media celebrity, sports media celebrity, me. Send out a tweet in real time. This is very exciting, Raj. Can I get some music, some dramatic music? Is it possible?
Leader is all over that. We got some dramatic music coming right up there.
I'm going to hit send.
Sure,
I'm going to hit tweet.
Was that tall? Mr. T was pretty short, man.
I see that this information is available online, I write. It is, however, incorrect. Clubber Lang was a southpaw. Also, if Rocky is 5'10 or 5'11, seeing him listed as both in the movie, then Clubber's at least 6'1", as you can see, is several inches taller than Rocky during the stare down. I'm sending tweet. I did it. Must be sports radio history. The host. Sending a tweet live on the air.
Well done.
It's like the first telegram.
Wikipedia has Mr. T at or Clubber Lang, excuse me, as 5'11".
Right, it's wrong. Because Rocky's listed at 5'10 or 5'11". Look at them in the stare down.
There's no way Sylvester Stallone is 5'10".
But no, not Sylvester Stallone, the character of Rocky.
All right, you're right.
Okay. Now here comes the award show. Ready? Let's do this award show.
Yes. Oh, let's go. Transition into some cheesy music here.
NBA award show, halfway point. Mid-season, Max's mid-season NBA awards. Where's the Imogen? I want to hear Imogen. All right, good, very good. About to do the Kellerman NBA award show. Here I am with my halfway point NBA awards. We're going to start. I don't think we should start with MVP, Raj. I think we need to work up to MVP.
Why don't we do the rookie then?
That's what I was about to say. Let's start with the rookie of the year and the third runner-up for NBA rookie of the year is Immanuel Quickley. Immanuel Quickley, ladies and gentlemen, of the New York Knicks, having a tremendous season, and maybe he'd be even higher on this list if the Knicks gave him a little more burn. But the fact of the matter is, we know Thibodeau. You're going to have to play defense and prove yourself and all that stuff if you hope to get playing time.
Who's number two?
Tom Thibodeau. Coming in runner-up as NBA Rookie of the Year, it is the Sacramento Kings' very own Tyrese Haliburton. And let me tell you what bothers me about this, and it should bother you, Knicks fans. I understand the Obi Toppin pick in the draft. You know, he's a New York product and the whole thing, and he was spectacular. Tyrese Haliburton was the guy with the highest floor as an NBA prospect. He was the one guarantee in this draft. Two-way player whose style offensively was efficient and could fit next to anyone in the backcourt. Well, the Knicks had Quickley. They could have had Haliburton and Quickley. I'm sorry, but it's true. They blew it. They blew it on Haliburton, who's had more. Really, I think the difference between him and Quickley this year is he's played more. Quickley was a later round draft choice, and so he has not played as much as Haliburton. And the rookie of the year, this is kind of anticlimactic because everyone knows who it is LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball so far is the halfway point rookie of the year. The Max Kellerman Show, halfway point NBA Rookie of the Year in a league where you have genius passers. Like, you know, this guy is like a genius. His court vision is ridiculous, and that broken-looking Ball brother shot falls. It falls for Lonzo, too, nowadays. Yeah, he's like an improved Lonzo Ball, and that's saying a lot because Lonzo's a very good player. This guy, LaMelo Ball, not only plays the game the right way, but has extraordinary next-level passing ability. Now, let's move on to Coach of the Year. Runner-up Coach of the Year is Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers has had an extraordinary year. You see Daryl Morey's influence as GM, but also Doc's influence as coach. Not coincidental. Doc shows up. Embiid is in the shape of his life. But the coach is Quinn Snyder. Quinn Snyder, who has flown under the radar for too long, has done a magnificent job coaching this Utah Jazz team up and turning them into, like, you know when the coach is really showing off almost? When the team plays like a machine, like a well-oiled machine. That Utah Jazz team is a machine, and that's coaching. Everyone is where they're supposed to be. They move the ball unselfishly. They all buy in. Quinn Snyder is the halfway point coach of the year. And now time for my MVP. The MVP of the first half of the NBA season. Coming in third place, James Harden, who has been remarkable in Brooklyn to the point that you forgive him for playing his way and underperforming out of Houston. He has not played a full season with the Nets, and yet his influence on that team and his unselfishness and brilliant play has resulted in the Nets being the scariest team since the Warriors super team. Runner-up, MVP, first half of the NBA season is the Lakers' LeBron James. LeBron James has been a two-way force this season, leading the Lakers when they still had AD, in other words, when they had their team intact, to be one of the only two teams, along with later on the Jazz, to be a top five offensive and defensive team, at least in terms of efficiency this season. LeBron has been outstanding leading this group, playing point forward, point guard, whatever, guarding multiple positions, hitting outside shots like he never has before, and doing his LeBron passing stuff and getting to the whole stuff as always. The MVP of the first half of the NBA season is Joel Embiid. And it's been wire to wire, folks. This dude is a big in the old school sense. can bully ball you down low, is a willing passer at this point. By the way, can hit his free throws over 85%. Is a competitive guy who wants to beat the other guys big. Is a team player. Is a defensive stopper. Much better defending the pick and roll nowadays. And arguably, the best offensive and defensive player in the game this year. You could argue he's both the best offensive and defensive player. Certainly top three in both. His team is first place in the conference. He's coming off a 40-19 performance in a win against the Jazz. Joel Embiid is Max's midseason NBA MVP. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. McShay's last mock draft is out, but I'm going to tell you what the Jets should do at number two. The college basketball season is heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch this as this season rolls on. Jared Butler and the number 3 Baylor Bears knocked off number 17 Oklahoma State at home last night, 81-70. Baylor improves to 20-1 on the year. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. I'll tell you what the Jets should do with the number 2 pick in the draft. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Sometimes we're deciding on what my victory music's going to be or what we're going to play in the show. I hold my phone up to the mic to let Raj and Brendan hear a song I'm into. And I often think, like, when I play Ghostface for Brendan, I mean, Rod, you must be, like, a little bit, like, because if you're on the West Coast understanding slang from the opposite coast, sometimes, like, you might not know a word or two. You're like, wait, what's he talking? But Brendan, that must be, like, a complete foreign language to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm barely even paying attention to it. It doesn't even register.
He doesn't know what the words mean. It's like, what sounds are these?
It does nothing for me.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
I'm glad you guys love it, though.
Coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. LeBron's all-star team. You see this? Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA. Durant and LeBron, they're the two captains. They choose up their teams. They left Utah's two all-stars for the last in the draft. Oh, it's good. I mean, listen, Gobert legitimately could be the last all-star taken. He's an excellent defensive player, but there are lots of excellent defensive players, and his offense doesn't compare to these guys. Although he's gotten better through the years. Donovan Mitchell should not be one of the two last players taken. That's disrespectful. Donovan Mitchell should not be one of the last two players taken. LeBron, listen to these teams. It's also very lopsided teams. Rod, you just erased the teams. I'm about to read them. Why would you do that?
Well,
okay, here we go.
Let me call the 1-800-SNITCH hotline.
Yeah.
Because our technical leader, since you baffled him with that Ghostface Killer stuff,
yeah,
he put up the wrong information for you because we're not actually on that segment. Remember, you teased Jeff, Darnold and the Jets. So that's what the information he was supposed to put up in McShay's draft. But for some reason, he put up the LeBron stuff. So we'll tease that for L.A.
You see, Raj is actually responsible for that, but he's passing it off to Brendan. For putting up the scripts, because I have little notes in front of me that Raj puts up on my screen to, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Raj, yeah, you're the one who puts up the scripts. I see you doing it right now. I could see his face concentrating over Zoom. He's highlighting things. No, I'm not doing anything. All right, McShay's new NFL mock draft. The Jets take Zach Wilson at 2. Yes, I did tease this. That's right. This now it all's coming flooding back into my brain. McShay says that he expects Zach Wilson to be number 2 overall, whether or not it's the Jets making it. In other words, Trevor Lawrence is the best player in the draft. Zach Wilson, look, Todd McShay told this to us on First Take today. Zach Wilson, second best player in the draft. So if that's the case, if there's a consensus that he is, and if the Jets believe that, if the Jets believe Zach, Sam Darnold would not be the second best overall player in this draft. That means Zach Wilson's an upgrade, and he's also going to be cheaper for longer. Like, imagine if Sam Darnold works out this year somehow, and it's like, he's not bad. He's a solid, average NFL quarterback, and he's trending in the right direction. Does that mean you're going to extend him? And at what price? to get a guy you hope one day might be good because he didn't stink for the first year in his career? Why wouldn't you want to draft a guy who's the second best talent in the draft? And if you don't believe that Zach Wilson, why not trade back? Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. You can't find another quarterback you like as at least as much as Sam Darnold, who's going to be cheaper, and you accumulate more draft capital, and you have four first-round picks in the next two drafts, and you can trade Darnold for more draft capital. You might wind up, if you trade back in the draft and trade Darnold, you might wind up with six firsts in the next 2 years. You'll need one of them on a quarterback. Rich Cimini on his fit with the Jets on Zach Wilson's fit with the Jets. If the Jets take Wilson, it would mean that's it for Darnold, who'd be traded. That New York would look to acquire a bridge quarterback to ease the transition for Wilson. I mean, you know, a Fitzpatrick type is always out there. But it also needs more playmakers to put around him. So let's say, I don't know who the Jets like best out of everyone outside of Trevor Lawrence, but let's just say it's Justin Fields, or let's say it's Trey Lance, or Mac Jones, or whoever. Whomever. They can trade back, grab that guy with one of their picks, and then likely have five other first-round picks to put talent around them. Why wouldn't they do that? Mike Tannenbaum has weighed in on this. A lot of people have. We're going to talk about it coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.